Would you turn your Bible to Genesis chapter 5? We are continuing this expository series of the book of Genesis. Sin had entered the human race, and it did not take long for corruption, and it spun to spread and defiled God's creation, human race. Like a cancerous tumor, evil infected civilization and brought death wherever it went. Created in God's image, could not manage their own lives, let alone God's creation. And the things began to fall apart. The more people, the more problem. This section of Genesis covers about 1,500 years of human history, years that are overshadowed by sins and sorrows. But when the night is the darkest, the stars shines brightest. And when the outlook is grim, the outlook is encouraging. Amen? Some might think that this chapter 5 in the book of Genesis is flat out boring because there are names that you can hardly pronounce, let alone you can spell it, right? From Adam to Noah. We can find a very important point. We find the main theme, the everlasting friendship with God by Enoch. If you don't have that kind of friendship with our Lord, I pray that you will get to have that friendship. If not today, maybe throughout the week. If you are born again Christian, you can have that friendship. If you are not born again Christian, today is the starting day you can start that. Let's stop and pray. Father, I love that song, "We are no longer the slave because I'm a child of God." How true. You are our good, good Father. You have chosen us out of human race. You stooped down and slipped your mighty hand in the ranks of humanity and plucked us out of them. Multi-million people, billions of people. Not because we are special, but because you are special. You chose us out of your pure love, abounding in mercy and amazing grace. We thank you and we praise you. Father, as we open our heart to receive your word and so that we may accept your principle and precepts, verse by verse study in this book, Father, you speak to us and teach us how to have that friendship, everlasting friendship. And most of all, let us have that complete and perfect communion between us and our Lord Jesus Christ. Let our heart be anointed, and let the one who speaks be anointed by you. Father, we pray for our President Trump and all the leaders in this country. We are not asking for their will be done, but your will be done in them. And if they don't know you, whatever it takes for them to come to know Christ as the Lord and Savior. And we pray for our troops and the law enforcement personnel and the firefighters. Wherever they are, especially the one in the harm's way. Another police officer got killed. Father, we're asking you to put the hedge of protection around them. Keep them safe. Pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Chapter 5, verse 1, please. This is the book of genealogy of Adam. In the day that God created man, he made him in the likeness of God. He created male and female and blessed them and called them mankind in the day they were created. And Adam lived 130 years, begot a son in his own likeness. I want you to underline that, please. In his own likeness. After his image, named him Seth. After he begot Seth, the days of the Adam were 800 years, and he had sons and daughters. And all the days of the Adam lived were 930 years, and he died. Seth lived 105 years and begot Enosh. After he begot Enosh, Seth lived 807 years and had sons and daughters. And all the days of Seth were 912 12 years and he died. Can you imagine keeping up with the Social Security? Government will be bankrupt. Verse 9. Enosh lived 90 years because of Kainan. After he begot Kainan, Enosh lived 915 years and had sons and daughters. And so all the days of Enosh were 905 years, and he died. Kainan lived 70 years and begat Mahalalel. And he begot Mahalalel. Kainan lived 840 years, had sons and daughters. And all the days of Kainan was 910 years, and he died. Mahalalel lived 65 years and begot Jared. After he begot Jared, Mahalalel lived 830 years, had sons and daughters. So all the days of Mahalalel, 895 years, and he died. He died young, huh? Jared lived 162 years. He begot Enoch. After he begot Enoch, Jared lived 800 years and had sons and daughters. So all the days of Jared, 962 years, and he died. Enoch lived 65 years, begot Methuselah. And after he begot Methuselah, Enoch, note this, guys, Enoch walked with God 300 years, had sons and daughters. So for all the days of Enoch were 365 years. And then verse 24, Enoch walked with God. He was not, for God took him. Stop there, please. 930 years for Adam. Can you imagine his birthday cake with all the candles? To blow out all the candles, you need gigantic fans. Just blow that thing up. Or the call fire department, just... You know, Bible critics sure have a major problem with the extremely long lifespan here. In this chapter, no one lived less than 365 years. He's not even dead. Methuselah lived 969 years. How is that possible? Some had a thought, speaking figuratively, or some people say, well, the year in here means a month. If that's the case, Enoch fathered Methuselah when he was 5.5 years old. Starting young, right? It's more likely that people lived much, much longer before the flood. Why? Because I believe that, remember how it started, they did not have a rain. And we will find in the next chapter. It was like a greenhouse situation. There was no ozone layer. It's covered with the moisture outside. So sun UV would not penetrate and deteriorate human skin or age people faster. In the post-war, the lifespan quickly come down to lifespan much like ours. When Eve gave birth, it was Adam's likeness, not God's. Remember, when God created Adam, it was in likeness of himself, isn't it? But Seth is the likeness of Adam, not God. Why? Because depravity had flooded humanity and polluted their innocence. Sin entered into the human lives. Don't you feel like you're walking through among the graveyard, reading all the names of the epitaph? Gravestone, and in the midst of many deaths, we find the bright spot of Enoch. This is one of the most remarkable things, that in the midst of death, one man was removed from the earth without death. It is said of Enoch that he walked with God. Because of this, Enoch did not die. And Elijah also did not die in the Old Testament. Some Bible students said, well, those two witnesses in the book of Revelation must be Elijah and Enoch. How do you know? Does the Bible say anything about it? And they may say, well, the Hebrews 9:27, all to die, what? How many times? Once. So they had to die. Yeah. But we still don't have a biblical ground for it. Remember, whenever, I touch many times, whenever Bible is silent, what do? Stay silent. How do you know that those two witnesses are Jose and Rodriguez? You don't know. I don't know. So just leave it as is, two witnesses. It may not be Moses and Elijah, or it may not be Elijah and Enoch. It could be totally somebody different. We are told that Enoch did not die, but that God just took him. It means that he was translated. What do I mean, translated? Translation is taking a word from one language and putting it into another language without changing its meaning. Enoch was translated from this earth to heaven like a rapture, if it happens in case right now. If the rapture happened right now, we will go up. If you're born again Christian, if you are not born again Christian, you're going to wonder where all these people go. So this is a good time for you to make up your mind. If the rapture happened, we get translated literally from here, this mortal body, to immortal body up in heaven. You with me? Enoch had a very close relationship with God. It's like this. God enjoyed the time with Enoch so much that they walk around together all over. As they were walking around and they were heading closer to the heaven, and he said, well, Enoch, my home is closer than yours, and why don't you just stay here? And that was the end of it. I don't know if that's how it went, but since I have a lot of imagination, that's what I'm thinking. Walking with God means walking by faith, according to 2 Corinthians 5:7. We walk by faith, not by what? Sight. And walking in the light, according to 1 John 1:5-7. And walking in agreement with God, according to Amos 3:3. God always keeps his appointment. By the way, he is never late. Do you know some people who always show up 15 minutes late, 5 minutes late? My daddy taught me from the beginning, when I was old enough to go places on my own. And he said, it's okay for you to waste your time because you wait for somebody, but it's not okay for them to waste their time because you are late. So he grind that concept in my head. So whenever I get to meet my daddy, I showed up early, 10 minutes early. Guess what? He's there. I can never win over that man. You know why it's important to being on time? It shows that you are not only you are punctual, but you are the man of word, a woman of word. You say, I will meet you a certain time, be there on time. Enoch walked with God during one of the darkest time in human history. And if Enoch was able to live the godly life at a time like that, we can certainly live godly life during this time. It's one of my things when I wake up in the morning, I say good morning to my Lord. I know you think that that's corny, but that's something I do. And after that, I grab my phone, I go through the Fox News article. And I should have stopped doing that because it's really depressing. Yeah. Somebody killed somebody. Somebody killed somebody. Somebody killed the cheated. Somebody cheated on their husband and wife. It's like, we should have a website that has good news, cheerful news place. Let's think about the friendship with God, okay? I believe that different stages of friendship can be symbolized by where the people stand with you when he or she visit your home. When a stranger can knock on my door, and if they're trying to sell something to me or don't want to talk to me for whatever reason, if I don't know that person stops at the door. Isn't that true? They don't come in. I don't know who they are. But if I had to talk to them, I'll let them in. and stay in the living room. Then we talk. But if you come in, you're my friend, you come into come to my home, you may sit in the living room, or most likely we will end up in the kitchen. And standing, leaning on the counter and doing all these things. If you're kind of sort of acquaintance, you come in, and if you see the bowl of fruit, even if you're hungry, you won't, most likely you won't ask, can I eat that? If I were you at home, I'll just grab and eat, start to eat. I have that kind of manner. But if you're a close friend of mine, you won't ask. If you're hungry, you won't go for the fruit. You'll just go into my refrigerator and start to make a sandwich. Because you're comfortable, right? You're honest with your need. That's what it is, being a friend. We will stand and become honest and closer. The more you get to know a person, the more honest your relations become. And the formality are dropped. You begin to bare your heart. You let your guard down. In the book of Exodus, we find the story of another man who had a relationship with God that was intimate and close. You may already guess that person's name. His name is Moses. And his friendship with his creator was such that he could speak freely his mind. Go to Exodus, next book from Genesis, Exodus 33, please. I know some of you are thinking, can I come over and start to make a sandwich at your home? Yeah, go for it. Verse 11. So the Lord spoke to Moses face to face as a man speaks to what? His friend. And you're thinking, oh, are you saying God is our friend? God is his friend? Truth is that God is revealing things to Moses that he never revealed to anybody else before. One day Moses was in deep in prayer and asked for the unthinkable. Until now, no one ever asked God, can I see your face? Can I see you? You know, the Lord was not offended by his request. He was bringing Moses into such a place where Moses was comfortable enough to ask that kind of question to God. Moses was discovering what prayer was all about. It is not just getting things from God, but it is getting God. You with me? I often say this to you. Seek God, seek God's face more than seek his hand. Do you understand what I'm talking about? Seeking his face is seeking him. Seeking his hand is asking for what we need. Not, there is a place for the petition and supplication in prayer. And there is a place for the asking God to provide what we need. Nothing wrong with that. But if that's all you have, your relationship is relatively shallow. Seek him. You will come to the place and you may say, Lord, I know you provide all my needs, so I'm not going to ask you for that. But how about we just spend time? When was the last time? Ask yourself. Don't raise your hand. When was the last time you spent the time with God, just talking without asking anything? And that favor or the need, just hanging around with him. This is the place which the Moses had come. Although God did not grant his prayer exactly the way Moses prayed it, he worked out a special arrangement to let Moses come as close as any man ever had come before. Go to the verse 20 of same chapter, please. Chapter 33, verse 20. But he said, you cannot, God speaking, you cannot see my face, for no man shall see me and live. And the Lord said, here is a place by me. You shall stand on the rock. And it shall be, while my glory pass by, that I will put you in the cleft of the rock, and will cover you with my hands while I pass by. Then I will take away my hands, and you will see my back, but my face shall not be seen. That's what we called afterglow. I love the way God said, I will put you in the cleft of the rock. I'll cover you, your face with the hands, and then I'll pass by you, and I'll take my hands off, and you can see my back. It is so dear and near to Him, isn't it? It is so close, so personal. We read something like this and say, Moses has such a great relationship with God. What a friendship they must have, had. And the Lord will do this for him. If I only had been a Moses or Abraham, it would be so good. Wait a second, guys. We have a better relationship. Do you know that? Their God, Jehovah God, was a distant God. To approach God, because they are sinful human beings, they had to bring the sacrifice first, and they go through all this ritual, and then meet God. Out of 2 million people in the wilderness, one man had that personal relationship with God. If you are born again Christian, guess what? You are a different story. And you have it. Not only you have God speaking to you through your word, it's much different. When Jesus went to the cross, he became that final sacrifice to God. And he was the one who died on our place. He now is our high priest who represents us before the Lord. And we can go into his presence at any time we want through our prayer. Go to Hebrews chapter 10, please. If you don't believe me, go to Hebrews chapter 10, verse 19. Therefore, brethren, having boldness to enter the holiest by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way, which he consecrated for us, through the veil, that is, his flesh, and having a high priest over the house of God. See, even more than that, God himself comes and lives inside of us. And this is the relationship that God opened up to us through Jesus Christ. You know, if you come to the point of your life where you could say, Lord, I just want you, I want your will, and that's all matters to me, then you have a good relationship with God. Your relationship is so much better than Moses and Abraham. Do you know that? Go back to the verse 25, chapter 5 in Genesis, please. Methuselah, by the way, after the service, we will have a test of all the people's name spelling. Methuselah lived 187 years and begat Lamech. And after he begat Lamech, Methuselah lived 782 years and had sons and daughters. So all the days of Methuselah were 969 years and died. Lamech lived 182 years and had sons. And he called him Noah, his name Noah, saying, this one will comfort us concerning our work and toil of our hands, because the ground which the Lord has cursed. Verse 30. After he begot Noah, Lamech lived 595 years and had sons and daughters. So all the days of Lamech was 777 years. The poor guy died real early. And he died. And Noah was 500 years old, and Noah begot Shem, Ham, and Japheth. The birth of Methuselah, and at the birth of Methuselah, Enoch had a special awareness of God, and judgment is coming. And that's the reason why Enoch started to walk with God. Methuselah's long life, he's the longest living being, the person who ever lived, 969 years. It's no accident, because it is because the grace of God. When Methuselah died, guess what? The flood came. God kept him alive longer than anybody to give people as long as possible to repent. God is doing the same thing right now, folks. Let me ask you this question. I want you to raise your hand. How many of you guys been 10 years ago? How many of you guys, within 10 years period, how many of you guys came to know Christ as the Lord and Savior? 10 years. Raise your hand high. Keep your hands up high. Okay. Keep your hands high. And how many years, how many of you, don't put your hands down. How many of you guys came to know Christ in the last 20 years? Raise your hand. Keep your hands up. Okay. How many of you guys came to know Christ in the last 30 years? Okay. How many, okay, put your all hand down. How many of you guys came to know Christ more than 50 years? Very few, right? What if the Lord came to, rapture happened 1950? Or even 60? I would be toast, extra crispy. The Lord is taking as long as he can to have even the last person to come to know Christ. You know, I say this, I tell my wife, I wish the Lord comes soon, like now. Because I look at the newspaper, there's so many wrong things happening. Why doesn't he come right now? In his infinite wisdom, bless you, in his infinite wisdom, he's waiting for that person to come to know Christ. In his grace and mercy, God extended the time of rapture so that the last one who should get saved can come to know him. Then it would be the time. No one knows that time. It can be today or tomorrow. It's better to be ready than being too late. Amen? Because before we close, I find it very interesting about these 10 people's name. The name, meaning of the name. Adam means man. Seth means appointed. Enosh means subject to death. Kainan, sorrowful. Mahalalel means from the presence of God. Jared means one comes down. Enoch means dedicated. And Methuselah means when he is dead, it shall come. And Lamech means to the poor and needy. And Noah means bring the rest. And bring the rest. If we link all the definition of the names, it goes like this. Man appointed subject to death from the presence of God. One comes down dedicated. When he is dead, he shall come to the poor and needy, bring the rest. Who would that be? That's right. Jesus in the line of Adam. Three applications for you. Number one. We can choose to live this life without any purpose that would please the Lord. We can choose to live this life without any purpose that would please the Lord, but that would be total waste from the eternal perspective. Let me ask you this. What is your purpose of your life? To make money? Just in case you haven't noticed, there's no U-Haul truck behind your hearse. And the clothing the dead people wear, their pocket is sealed. Do you know that? Their suit jacket is sealed. Their pants pocket is sealed. In other words, you don't carry anything. Billionaires die just like a beggar on the street, carrying nothing to the next place. What is your purpose of your life? The one who has most toys wins. What a pathetic comment that is. The one who has most toys, you have a lot of junk. I look around in my house, it's like, where did I get all this stuff? Second application. Walking with God means walking by faith, walking in the light, and walking in agreement with God. Third application. The Lord has provided everything we need to have the best relationship with him. All we have to do is following Him with all of our heart, mind, soul, and body. Amen? Amen. Let's stand up and pray.